Like the little fella who was four, I think he had some of that frosting before he showed up. It was so much fun. He was so excited, and he went on and on. And it's good to be around that type of excitement and joy for life. I loved it. So the wilderness. Every year on this Sunday, we hear the story of Jesus in the wilderness. Every year. Now, it's a different story each year because it comes from, we hear the story from different gospels. And each gospel tells the story a little bit different when Jesus was in the wilderness. And this year we're in the Gospel of Mark. And Mark is a little unique. Because Mark, he only gives the bare minimum of information, okay? Mark is very efficient with his words. And if it's in Mark, he's thought long and hard about what needs to be in there, so it's probably something we should pay attention to. Well, in the Gospel of Mark, when that Gospel tells the story of Jesus being in the wilderness, all that we know is that the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness right after his baptism. The Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. He was out in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and with the wild beasts, and angels waited on him. That's it. There's nothing else. No specifics on what kind of temptations that Jesus went through with Satan. No specifics at all about that. For some reason, the gospel writer of Mark found it was sufficient to know that Jesus was driven out into the wilderness, was out there for 40 days with Satan, being tempted with the wild beast, and waited on by the angels. Now, I actually love this. I love this because it feels to me when I read this bare minimum story about the wilderness, lacking of detail, it invites us into it, I believe. Because the reality is, we all live in a wilderness at times, don't we? And the wilderness that we walk through, either as a people or as individuals, comes with temptations. And it's hard. And there are wild beasts in it. In these last couple of weeks, I've been mindful of some details about wilderness. Just this last week, part of our wilderness was a reminder when yet again another massacre happens at a school. And this wilderness is painful, and it's real, and it's filled with more questions than answers. And it digs at us and consumes us. And with it comes temptations, which we engage in. And some of the temptations, when we hear of yet another massacre, one of the temptations is starting to point fingers almost immediately at what the cause must be, or at least a portion of the cause must be. And we point these fingers with great frenzy. And it's quite convenient that when we're pointing our fingers at the cause of it, it's outside of ourselves. And as we point, and as we ridicule, and as we lay blame, we rip each other apart. We rip each other apart with names of all those conservatives, or all those liberals, or all these people, or all those people, and all these people, and all those people. and always pointing out at a portion of what the cause is. Because the reality is, that temptation is so real. And I have a feeling when we are in this frenzy pointing out the other's fault, Satan is going, yeah, just what I was hoping for. These people ripping each other apart. That's what I was hoping they would do. These temptations are real that I know deep and profoundly within my own being also. And I believe we all do in some way. And those temptations are real, and the wilderness is real, and all that goes with it are real. And the reality is, when we point conveniently beyond ourselves, we're only pointing at a sliver of a possibility of a solution or a cause. Because the reality is, if it was that simple, it would not be happening. It's complicated, deeply and profoundly complicated. And it requires our very best to step up and do something. Each of us. Not by pointing at the other and laying blame, but stepping up and what can I do? Because those temptations are ripping us apart, all while more children die. Yes, this wilderness is real. And the temptations are real. Those wild beasts are real. And I experienced another part of the wilderness this week when I was called to as dean, one of the deans of our conference, deans of the pastors in our conference, was called to a meeting at a neighboring congregation where it was being disclosed to them that a previous pastor disclosed that he had been sexually inappropriate with a member of a congregation. And this congregation was learning this news, and the wilderness became so real, filled with all kinds of thoughts and feelings and fears and wonders and sadness and grief and anger and things that don't have words. And yes, the temptation was there too, to lay blame and to criticize something outside of myself so that I could feel better about myself. The temptations are real, and it's painful. And I was with this week in another part of the wilderness with a family having to make difficult, painful decisions for a loved one. Life and death decisions. And oh, that wilderness became so real. And wondering within themselves, are we doing the right thing? Is this for us or is it for them? Or is this even, I don't want to be making this decision, but yet I am. And that wilderness is so real. And the temptation is to cover our eyes and cover our ears. I don't want to be a part of it. But we've been thrust out into it, and there they were. Oh yes, the wilderness is real. And so on this day, every year, we hear the story of Jesus in the wilderness. Why? Because that's where we find ourselves. We find ourselves in the wilderness. And all that goes with it, and the wild beasts that go with it, and the temptations that go with it, all too real. And yet, somehow, I believe it's important for us to remember that we have a God. We have a God in Jesus that gets it. And while we are in the wilderness going, you don't understand this. We're pounding on God's chest. You don't get it. You don't understand what I'm going through. We have a God that allows us to pound on God's chest and say, I do know. Oh, I do know what it's like to be in the wilderness, your wilderness. I do know what those temptations are. And I do know those wild beasts. And I'm here to tell you that there are angels around to care for one another in the wilderness. And somehow it matters to me to know that we have a God that does get it, that does understand. Not a God that from a distance says, come on, people, you can get through this. No, we have a God that says, I will step into that and take on all that you are taking on so that I can walk alongside you and say, I do understand. And sisters and brothers in Christ, as followers of Christ, we're called in love to care for one another, to care for those that are in their wilderness. In some of these places of the wilderness, I was completely reminded to my core, Michael, you can't fix this, but you can walk alongside. And so we do what we can do. Not closing our eyes, not pointing conveniently beyond ourselves to somebody else being the cause, but to walk in that wilderness knowing that Jesus walks with us. And I believe that's good news. It does not take the wilderness away. It does not take Satan and the temptations away. It does not take the wild beasts away. But it does say, we walk not alone into this wilderness. And we're called to care deeply and profoundly from right where we're at. Because when we do, we find that we have a Jesus that truly is present with us. In love. So sisters and brothers in Christ, as we wander through the wilderness, know that Christ wanders with us, not at a distance, right beside us, calling us to love, to act in love, and to move forward focused on the cross, filled with anticipation, and restrained celebration. Amen. I invite us into